Well, good morning. A lot of familiar faces here. We have a lot of visitors here. It's just good to see this many familiar faces that aren't usually here. I welcome each of you. I invite you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I've entitled my message this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus speaking said, I am the resurrection and the life. A bit of a disclaimer this morning. I had a little bit of trouble separating this morning's service from the funeral this afternoon. Obviously, that's what's on our minds. And so that's what took my mind in this direction. But I also want us to, this is not just a message to the Yoder family, obviously, although they are well represented here this morning. But what I would like for each one of us to take away from the message this morning is that Christ is the life. Outside of Christ, there is no life. We can seek living and we can seek life and we can seek fulfillment and purpose and whatever in so many different things. If I only made a little more money, if I only got it to the next level in sports, if I only, whatever it might be, then I would have it. If I could pursue that relationship that I desire, that would do it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Christ is our source, the only source of life. John chapter 11, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, 52 verses. And I'm sorry, it's not the entire chapter, but I want to read through verse 52. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that saith he unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, or twin, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, or 2 miles off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come and where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, "What do we, for this man doeth many miracles? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. I hope this passage can bless you the way it blessed me. I just felt like the Lord just really opened this passage to me as I was looking at this and preparing for this message. In verses 4, 11, and 14, we see Jesus almost uses sleep and death interchangeably. In verse 4, he says, "This sickness is not unto death." In verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And in verse 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." And the point is, I believe that to Jesus it is kind of interchangeable. You know, if I walk into the bedroom and I see my son lying there in bed sleeping, or my daughter, or my wife, whatever, it doesn't cause me great pain and anguish. I know they're going to wake up in an hour or 2 hours or whatever it might be. And with Jesus, he said, "You know what, Lazarus is sleeping, but I can wake him anytime I want. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jerry's sickness was unto death. That was the purpose. It was God's intention to use his failing health as a means of his dying and going on home. That was the intention that God had with that death. In Lazarus' case, that was not the intention. This was simply God's way of glorifying himself and his son. If you go down to verse 40, he says, "Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now I know that this thing with the funeral is what's right here, but what circumstances are you facing in life? And are you allowing God to be glorified through those circumstances? God designs and orchestrates our lives and circumstances to bring him glory. Look at Job. Most of us know the story of Job. That whole thing started with God saying to Job one day, or to Satan one day, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I want us to imagine if Job had been able to hear that conversation. I think it would have done two things to Job. One, it would have made him cringe. He would have been, wow, this is going to be tough. But I think, and we see in the end, we see Job's heart. And I think if he would have been able, and I don't want to be hard on Job, I can't imagine how I would have held up in that circumstance, those circumstances. And we see in the middle chapters of Job, there's times when he falters. There's times when he questions God. But I think if Job could have seen the big picture, he could have said, you know what? And he did say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't understand why I have to be the guy, but to God be the glory. And he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, He will stand on the earth. And that word Redeemer is someone who takes something that is ruined. Jesus doesn't always prevent tragedy. He delights in taking what we've messed up and redeeming it. Don't ever believe that it's too far or too late or too far gone that God can't bring it back together. That is what God is good at, and that's what God delights in doing. Redemption. Restoration. And in the end, God could look at Satan and say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And all Satan could do was hang his head. He'd been defeated, and God was glorified. In verse 7, he said, "Let's go on." He tells the disciples, "Let's go on down to Judea." In 7 through 10, and they said, "Well, the last time we went down there, they tried to stone you. And you're going to go again?" And Jesus said, "Well, think about it. They're blind. They're walking in darkness. Of course they're going to try to kill me. Let's go down there and shed some light." They don't know better. We look at Stephen when he was stoned. He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And again, I was challenged as I thought of that. How do I view? I do fencing. I have customers to deal with. Right now, I have good neighbors. So they're not really a thorn in my flesh. Some of you have neighbors that are thorns in your flesh. Carlos, not you. Sam's not here to defend himself. What do you do with that neighbor, that coworker, that boss, that employee, that whoever it may be? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child or a parent, whatever it may be. How do you treat that person that irritates and annoys you? Do we realize that they may simply be walking in darkness? Are we shining the light and the love and the hope of Christ into their lives? How much light are you shedding on the situation? In verse 15, Jesus says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there." He could have said, "I'm glad Lazarus died." There's some shock value in that statement. "I'm glad I wasn't there to prevent this death." Go down to verses 41 and 42. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.'" It's all about us believing and Christ being glorified and lifted up. That is what matters. Trust and obey. Us believing, Christ being lifted up. Turn to John chapter 12, the next chapter there. Verses 27 through 36. He says, if I I must be lifted up in order to draw all men to me. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And this is him, Jesus praying. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I wasn't sure where to interject this passage because we see again when Jesus is coming to the tomb and ready to raise him from the dead, it would have been a very fitting time there. I want to think about this as we get to that part. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, remember he said about them walking in darkness? Yet a little while is the light with you. He had talked about this before he came. Now he's here talking to them. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Going on down to verse 19, in chapter 11. Going back to chapter 11. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Okay, so here we have a bunch of people came to comfort him. Now go to verse 28 and 29. So a bunch of them had come to comfort Mary and Martha. Verse 28 and 29. And when she had so said, this is when Martha came to Mary and said, Jesus is calling for you. She went her way. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is what happens here. That's the next verse. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And notice Mary's response. She has all these people that are here to comfort her. And when she hears the Master is called, she says, as soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came unto him. Maybe one of the more helpless things that we face in life, or I don't know if that may be too strong, but a helpless situation is when we know, especially when it's a sudden tragic death. With Jerry, it was something we saw coming for a while. It was something that actually was prayed for, and there's a lot of mixed emotion. Then talking to some of you how there's a relief that he can be relieved of his suffering. There's the pain of missing him. But sometimes there's a child, Vernon Naomi's accident with Cody. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You can't comfort someone. The best you can do is be there and hurt with them. You can't fix it. You can't truly comfort someone in that situation. Mary knew where she could get comfort. If you see peace and acceptance in someone's eyes while they are suffering, while there is pain to deal with, it's because, especially in the death of someone, they either don't care, they weren't close to the person, it didn't affect their lives, whatever, or they know Jesus. Knowing Jesus is what gives life. And when he was leaving, he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit in his place. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, Christ's words, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I want us to really, really get her perspective here and her change of perspective in the next couple of verses. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, she's talking to Jesus, but referring to God as someone out there. Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I was reminded of the when Jesus, let's turn to John chapter 20, verse 11. When Jesus came out of the tomb and he met Mary Magdalene, when Jesus had been out of the tomb, John chapter 20, verse 11, and thinking about this, that Martha is almost, I think, almost absent-mindedly or distractedly saying, yeah, I know he'll rise again. I know that God can raise him from the dead. Almost like she's looking past Christ. Here we see Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now let's go back to chapter 11. Martha is telling Jesus, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. I know that he will rise in the last day, and so on. And it's almost like Jesus says, Martha, I am the resurrection. This isn't some distant thing we're talking about. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am your source of strength. I am your source of life. Life that means something. I am the life. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Go to verse 32. Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 5 it says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I want to bring that in here. Jesus loved these people. And although Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he identified with their pain and with their suffering. And it may be easy for us to look from a distance and say, why are you mourning about someone who's died? He's going to rise again. Jesus, knowing the end, knowing what he was going to do, still was able to weep with them. And I want to give us a little bit of a different sense here too, I believe. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I want us to notice in the next few verses here, his anguish of spirit and his troubled spirit. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And I don't know how they said that, but it was said in a way that Jesus wept. It broke his heart, I believe, to see their pain. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. I had to wonder if Jesus, as he was asking, you know, where have you laid him, and they're mourning and they're weeping about this death. I had to wonder, Christ being eternal, and having the whole, being able to see the whole of history, the whole of eternity, and having that point of view, if he didn't look back and say, you know what, all the way back here, I created something so perfect and so beautiful and so ideal, all you had to do was obey. I want the best for all of you. And he sees all the pain and all the suffering and all the tragedy down through the years that sin has caused. And he moans and he weeps. In Hebrews 12:12 it says that Jesus, I'm sorry, 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that Jesus, seeing all this, just gave him more motivation. I am going to fix this. Father, what should I say? Take me away from this moment? I came for this moment. Be glorified. And then we see that he tells him to pull the stone away. That takes an act of faith. I had to think, it was a little bit of a funny thing. But you know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus still died. Again. We're not told how that happened or what happened. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus did all of this for his glory and so that the people still living here could see him and believe in him and who he was. And Lazarus was kind of the unfortunate victim in all of this. We were talking about it yesterday. You know, what happens when you die? Exactly what all happens between now and when Jesus comes back and all of that. And I don't know, and this would have been before Christ died and rose, and I don't know what all happened there. But I'm imagining Lazarus, he had to go back to his normal life. I don't know what his occupation was, but imagine a few days later he smashes his thumb with a hammer and says, really? I was done with all of this. And now here I am again. And they were actually plotting to kill him and so on. But I just had to wonder how much grief we cause Christ because of our unbelief and our unwillingness to let him be our Lord and Savior. And then the priest says, you know what? We're not going to lose everything just for one man. We're going to kill that one man so that the nation can be saved, prophesying that Jesus would die for all of us. I would like for you to just take away from here again today that in all of this, we have the reality of death, and we have the reality of life. And I already mentioned that, you know, many of the Yoder family, well, all of them were expecting this. Some of them are dealing with it differently. Some it has affected more than others. But I would like for us, we all knew Jerry. Jerry was a prominent figure in church. There are others that are hurting this morning. None of us, I think probably literally none of us, very few of us knew Clara's sister. And it's easy for us to forget that Clara is hurting this morning. This whole thing of viewings and funerals and death. And I had talked to Danny this morning. I'm not just speaking out of turn here.
This has brought death very much to the surface again for the Mast family. And I think we need to be careful to be lifting them in prayer. I was talking to Danny for a while this morning, and we all would wish that Larry could be healed miraculously. And I'm still praying that he will be. But even if he is, he's going to die. In 100 years, everyone here will be gone from this earth and will be in eternity somewhere. And if we don't know Jesus, we don't know life. And if we don't know Jesus, I don't care how successful we were in this life, we will have been a failure. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." We're all about resurrection. But he says, "I am the life. I am what matters. I am what..." You know, you can have... Well, we'll take... I don't want to be crude here, but we'll take Jerry for an example. Jerry looks fine laying there. He looks like he's sleeping. But there's no life. The moment he passed away, we stopped... You could say we stopped loving that body. It's the life that matters. And if you are walking around as a body without life, you're experiencing emptiness and a longing for something. Jesus is saying, he's groaning and he's moaning. He's saying, "Oh, I just wish you would let me fix this for you. I am, Martha, look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not out there. It's not even just God out there. It's me. I am what you're looking for. My word is spirit and it is life." Are you feasting on the word? Are you experiencing the actions of the spirit in your life every day? Do you have life? My favorite passage in Scripture is Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. I'm going to read that and be done. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega.'" That's the A and the Z in the Hebrew alphabet. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I am the resurrection and the life. He that cometh unto me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Let's stand for prayer. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. Maybe you are realizing that you've been looking for everything. You've been looking for life in all the wrong places. You've been seeking life and fulfillment and motivation and energy and whatever from something that isn't Christ. I just like to give you a moment to think about that this morning, to pray, to ask God to show you your heart. Lord, what do I pursue? What do I want? What do I desire? And just allow him to say, whatever your name is, look at me. I am the life. I'm what you're looking for. You know, we had this Kevin here a while ago that was a wrestler for Indiana. He wanted that championship. And he came within 2 points his freshman year, lost in 10th grade, lost in 11th grade, and in 12th grade he finally won that championship. And he had finally accomplished what he wanted. And about a week later he said, you mean this is it? It's empty. There's nothing here. What would God have you? What would God have for you? What does Christ have for you that you are not allowing him to resurrect or redeem? Let's pray. Lord, I just lift each one here to you. Help us, Lord, to seek you as our everything. Our strength, our meaning, our purpose. Lord, we thank you that not only are you the only life, but you are sufficient life. You are everything we could want or need or hope for. Help us, Lord, to cast ourselves on you and just make you Lord of our lives. I pray that you would comfort each one here this morning that's grieving in some way. Lord, I pray for Clara. I pray, Lord, that you would just really bless her with a sense of your presence and your spirit just being with her, Lord. I pray for her right now. I pray that you would comfort her. I pray, Lord, for the Mast family. Lord, our will would be that you would just heal him, that you would be glorified in that way. Lord, we ask for that this morning. We also, Lord, realize that we don't know the big picture. And we just throw Larry on your mercy, Lord. We pray for him, for Esther, for the family, for just everyone that's affected by this, Lord. I just pray over everything, Lord, that your name be made great and you be lifted up. Pray for the Jerry Yoder family. Again, everyone's being affected differently. Lord, I pray that you would meet each one where they're at. You be made great. You be lifted up. We bless you. We thank you. Thank you for the meal that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it to our bodies. Bless our conversation. Help us, Lord, to be edifying in what we do and say. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.